Praise the Lord, message number 75, the title of the message, the mission and the work of the church in the New Testament, part 1. Let's pray. We give you thanks and we praise you, Lord, for your goodness, your faithfulness. Thank you for your word that you send us and you give us on time. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who carry your word to us, to your church, to your people, so that we will know your will and we will know what you want from us to do for you, O Lord. O God, anoint my lips and take full control and anoint the ears and the mind of all your people who listen to the message. And we pray the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished in the life of your church. I pray for people to raise up to understand the true meaning of the church and the rule of the church in the present age, and what you really want us to do for you, O God. Raise up more servants to go and evangelize, to go and make disciples, to do the mission work, and use all your workers, O God, all those who you are going to raise up. Use them, O God, to plant more churches and to reach the lost. We thank you and we bless you. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, the word of God says, but you are the chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are called according to this scripture, a royal priesthood, and we need to do our responsibility. We are a royal priesthood, and that is what we are, and we are called to do our responsibilities in our families, toward our spouses, toward our children, to raise up them and to nurture them in the fear of the Lord. But not only to that, to the family, but to the society and the people and the world that is around us. The pattern that the Bible gives us about the church at the time of Jesus will help us to understand our duties and responsibilities as royal priests to serve God and to live our life unto him. We can read in the book of Mark, chapter 1, that Jesus, before he started his ministry, he got baptized by water, by John the Baptist. We can read that in Mark, chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, state the following. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Water baptism, the meaning of it is that we bury our old life and we arise from the water to live a new life as the Lord wants us to live it, in obedience to all his word and his commands, and to live the purpose that God had ordained for us to live. We can read very clearly that the Spirit descended, the Holy Spirit descending on him. He was also filled with the Holy Spirit. So before we start to do the work of God, we need to be water baptized, burying the old life, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, as we are filled with it, we are equipped with the gift of the Holy Spirit that we need in our life, so that we can go and evangelize, we can go and we can drive out demons, we can go and we can stand the trials and the persecution and the, all the work of devil, not us, but the Holy Spirit that live in us. And that's what the Lord say also in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 8. He told them, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said to them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So here the Lord said that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means that God is with you, and you will have the power of God. The power of God will work mightily and manifest it greatly in your life. Mark chapter 1 verse 12, we can read that, at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. As he was filled with the Holy Spirit, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, also we are led by the Holy Spirit to the right direction at the right time to move and do the certain things that the Lord wants us to achieve. Verse 13, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. We know from the other gospel, the gospel of of Luke and the gospel of Matthew, that Jesus also, as he was tempted by the devil, he faced temptation by fasting. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Fasting is very important to face a trial and to stand firm and to be discerning and to do faithfully the work of God that the Lord wants us to achieve. So here there's water baptism, be filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit baptized, and the power and the rule of fasting in our life. And as we continue reading the Gospel of Mark, we can see how the Lord Jesus Christ was moving and serving. And from that we can have a clue for our duties and responsibility as royal priests toward the people around us who does not know the Lord. We are called to lead them in the way of righteousness, that God wants us to do that for him. Let us continue to read Mark chapter 1. Let us read verse 16 to 20. We can learn from Jesus. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired men and followed him. We learn from this that Jesus was calling people to serve God. Jesus, he was moving and talking and speaking to the people the word of God. The same for us today. We move around to earn our living among the people, and we must know and be aware that God is calling people through us. Wherever you are based, God is calling people through you. You must know that. Wherever you are, God is calling people through you. If you are in the street, as you are walking, in the market, as you are shopping, in your office, as you are doing your work and duty, God is using you, God is calling you, and God is calling people through you. So you need to live your life in holiness. You need to be discerning. You need to be willing to be used by the Lord, and willing to fully commit unto Him for the purpose that had saved you for. We will continue read Mark chapter 1, verse 21 to verse 28, where we can read that Jesus went to the synagogue. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives order to him, to impure spirits, and they obey him." And news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. And Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. That may resemble our weekly Sunday worship of the church, where the whole church gather to praise the Lord, as we gather to praise and sing to God and listen to the Word of God. We listen to the instruction of the Holy Spirit to us through the Word of God. The Lord is working inside us. The Lord is working with us in our gathering. We must know that our church meeting should not be treated as an ritual thing and traditional thing. For since the Lord is with us in every meeting, then we expect new and exaltable things to happen in the midst of our worship, as had happened when Jesus entered the synagogue. In that particular worship where Jesus entered the synagogue, one man got delivered from demon possession and was set free by the Lord. In the same way, every meeting that we have, we expect and foresee that the Lord is doing a great thing. He is changing people. He is transforming people's life. He is calling the people to live in holiness, driving out demons, healing the sick, providing for certain need. We must come together in our meetings, in our church meeting. We must come together by faith to worship the Lord and waiting expectantly that He is going to do a certain things in you, in our midst. So here we learn the pattern of the ministry here, the pattern of the ministry, the mission of the church, and the work of the church here is to call people to serve God. Our church meeting should be excitable things to happen, and new things we expect to see and to happen. People get healed, people get delivered from demons, people get transformed, their life change through the work of the Holy Spirit in the midst of our church meetings. Let's continue read Mark chapter 1, and let us now read verse 29 to verse 31, where Jesus visited Simeon's house. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simeon and Andrew. Shimon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. The visit of Jesus was fruitful. Simeon's mother-in-law was healed by the Lord. In the same way, we need to go around and visit the people in their places. Those who are attending the church and those who are not yet attending, we need to go and visit home visitation in their places of living and pray for them and minister to them by giving the word of God and giving them the right advice and the right counsel, laying our hands on the sick people, because that's what the Lord shows us in the scripture. As we do it, we will reap a harvest. We can see verse 32 to verse 34 what had happened in the same place. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew whom he was. Now, what had happened? The home visit of Jesus was a reason of big gathering around the house, and many people came and received healing, and many who are demon possessed would be delivered. What we learn here, that home visitation and reaching new houses with the gospel of Jesus will end up with a great fruit and a blessing to many people, and above all, many will come to know Christ and get saved. We start to visit a few people in the house, but then later on we found out that God is opening to us new opportunities. Many people will come, we can reach other houses, we can reach other city, other country, other nationalities, other languages. The importance of home visitation. So here we find from the scripture that the Lord, as he was walking in the street, he was calling people. He walked and talked. He went to the synagogue. That is resemble our church meeting. Weekly church meeting. Then he did a home visitation. He visited the people where they live, and bondage was broken. Let us continue. Mark chapter 1. And let's read verse 35 to verse 37. Speak here about prayer. Prayer was important aspect in Jesus' life and ministry. Verse 35, we can read, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companion went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Prayer should be an important aspect in our lives and in our ministry. Before we start our day, before we start our service and ministry, before we do anything, we need to set time for prayer. You need to keep time every day for prayer, and better to start your day putting all your petition and supplication into the hand of the Lord. When the Lord prayed, the disciple they went to him and they told him, "Everyone is looking for you." What we learn here, as we pray, God will draw more people unto us to give them the gospel, and he will bring us to a new places to bring his word to the people who need them. What the Lord told his disciple who came to him in verse 38 and 39, Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogue and driving out demons. Jesus had the desire to keep moving on to a new places and to preach the gospel to them. We ought to have the desire to reach new places with the gospel of Christ, the neighbor village, our immediate neighbor, the people around us who live with us, people next room, people next house, people next street, people next city, people next village, people next building. All these are opportunities for us to move on and to preach the gospel to the people. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord will lead us of what we need to do and how to spread the gospel and His word to the people who are around us. There are opportunities of ministries around you. You must be aware. God is calling people through you. In Matthew chapter 25, the Lord spoke about the parable of the sheep and the goats. Matthew chapter 25, and we can read that in verse 31 to verse 46. We can see what are the opportunities that ahead of us as a church, as workers, as leaders, as pastors, as overseers, how we can spread the gospel. What are the things that we need to observe so the Lord will work mightily in our midst? The Lord say in this parable, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. God is giving them the kingdom. Verse 35, for I was hungry and You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and You invited me in. I needed clothes and You clothed me. I was sick and You looked after me. I was in a prison and You came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer Him, Lord, when did we see You hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in a prison and go to visit you? They are asking the Lord, which time we did this for you? Verse 40, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And He's telling them, you did that for the people, but that was meant for me. What they did, they helped those who are hungry, they helped those who are thirsty, they don't have food or drink, they helped those who are strangers, those who does not know the detail of the place. Who came the first time to the place, they help them. Those who have no clothes, they are naked and they give them clothes. Those who are sick and they went and they visit them. Those who are in prison, they went and comfort them in their prison. Now these are all opportunities for us as a church to reach the people. Those around us who are hungry, we can give them something. Those who are thirsty, those without clothes, we can use all what we have resources, food, drink, the extra money that we have, we can invest it in the life of the poor. And with this way, we can give them the gospel, the word of God. We visit those who are sick, we visit hospitals, we visit prisons. All these are opportunity for us to preach the gospel. Verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. When they fail to show compassion because of their selfishness, when they fail to show compassion, when they fail to give and to share, in the same way, they did not spread the gospel. These are all opportunities for us. We need to have a compassionate heart, sensitive heart as a church, where people who are in need, God called us to minister to them. Any category who are in need is opportunity for us as a church to minister to them and to work with the Lord to bring them the gospel and to save them from their sin with the gospel of Jesus and to direct them into the right way with the word of Jesus. Here, the church should do the goals of God in the life of the society that God had placed the church in. Every church, every congregation, every member, every worker has certain capabilities and certain resources. He must use all these resources for the glory of God. From this introduction, we can outline more important points about the work of the church in this present age. We are living in a world love is missing, corruption is so much, abuse is becoming the pattern, injustice is becoming a normal thing, and people are suffering. Around us, many victims. They are harassed. They are troubled, sick and in prison, afflicted by sin, by poverty, falling in needs. And we as a church, we have the resources. We have the word. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the mission. We have the commission of the Lord. We need to move forward and help those people. I like to get a scripture from the Old Testament, from the life of David, and we will expound it, how we can apply the scripture in our ministry today. So we can know what is our mission and what is our work as a church in this time that God had called us to be His people, His royal priesthood, to serve Him and bring the gospel to the lost. 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 2 say, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. Who are the people they were around him? Those in distress, those in debt, and those who are discontented. Are such kind of people around us? Oh yes, and many. They are so much, and these are the people that no one love. Everyone avoid because no one wants to suffer. These are all problems. All those people are problems. But those people, God had called us to minister. Those who are in distress. Those are the people who live in emergency, like having sudden disease that is heavy, cancers, heart attacks, paralysis, accidents, fractures, those who lose their jobs, those who are disabled with infirmities, those who are in distress. They have death cases of their lovely one, their parents, their children. Such kind of people, they are not in position to give. That's why all avoid them, because you need to give them in order for you to bring them out of the emergencies of their life. They are in emergencies. They are in trouble. Those who are in distress. What you need to do? You need to give. The first you need to do is you give them the first aid, the relief. And that, before you give the relief, you need to take them out from the danger. Like somebody who is burned, we have to take him out from the flame of fire. And then take them out from the danger, those in having an area that is dangerous for their lives, earthquakes, fires, typhoons, volcanoes, they need to be evacuated. They need to be helped. And then we will give the first aid. What is endangering their life? We need to direct the first aid to them. Even those who are trying to attempt suicide, these are emergencies. We need to know how to handle them. Take them out in the danger, from the danger, put them in a safe place. In a hospital, or whatever the arrangement in your place for such cases, you need to put them in safe hands. And then, as these cases are recovering, we need to help them in the process of recovering, counseling, comforting, and giving the word of God to them so that their anxieties, their pain, their sorrows, their sadness will move away. As they recover, we need to rehabilitate them, to manage their life, and finally, train them and equip them to be fruitful. So we can take people from distress, from emergency, we give the first aid to take them out. We help them to get recovered and then to be rehabilitated, to manage their life with what they have, and not only to live a negative life but to live a fruitful life by training them and equipping them how to be fruitful. We love to work with people who are relieved so we can receive from them, because we don't want to suffer and we don't want to invest in people's life. But Jesus worked with people who are in distress. What he did, he entered their lives and rescued them and took them out of their troubles. He drove demons from people's lives. He advised many of them. He gave the word of God. He did miracles. We can do all that through prayer, through the word of God, through the authority that God gave us to drive out demons, through the authority that God gave us to preach the gospel and teach and make disciples. We have all the ingredients as a church to penetrate to the society that is around us. What also Jesus did, he showed them the new life that he had prepared for them by equipping them with his word and his ways, and with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they became a fruitful people. In the same way, during the process of rehabilitation, recovery, and equipping for the ministry, we go through the teaching and show the people whom God has saved through our ministry with the great plan of God for them. The details of His plan, we can see it through the Word of God. From the Word of God, we show them the need of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the need for living a holy life, the need to having a good stewardship. This is how to start. Simply let us work with the Lord in receiving those people, rehabilitate them, and equipping them with the Lord to bear fruit. So here, people, they were around David, they were in distress. People around you are in distress. Those are not the people who bring headache. Those are the people whom God had called you to minister. Who are the next category? People in debt. No one likes to work with people who are in debt, because the first thing they will ask you is to give them money. And that is usual things. The people will ask you to give them money if they are in debt. Can we borrow? Can we borrow? But who tells you that you need to give them money? What you need to do is, I'm not saying don't give money, but you can give little, or you can share. But what you need to do more, you need to direct the people with God's word of how to manage their lives. If they are not working, teach them to work and earn their living. Teach them to pray and to ask God to provide for them. And teach them how to budget well their expenses according to what they have. What else we need to teach people? Tithing. Many people are in debt because they don't tithe, because the devourer is working mightily in their life and destroying a lot of things. Teach them tithing so that the Lord would open the floodgates of heaven and bless them, and that also will rebuke the devourer in their life. All these things we can do as a church. We need to teach them to buy cheap things but good quality for their daily needs. And living in the right way, we need to teach them to avoid borrowing and to be satisfied with the simple and cheap resources that can satisfy their needs. We sit with them, we discuss why there is much expenses, why there are debts, what for the money was spent for, and from there we can see the sin also in their life, the debauchery, the traditional things, loving parties and attending parties and giving gifts and buying expensive cars and putting themselves in loans for a house, whatever. These are unnecessary things that bring people into debt. We need to sit with them and disciple them the principle of stewardship. Those who are in debt, they are in need because they have done something wrong. We need to tackle the root cause, why they are in debt, and teach them not to do that again, and teach them how to budget. They need to work, they need to tithe, they need to use cheap resources so that they can save, they need to avoid parties, buying expensive food, buying expensive clothes, using some expensive transport. All this we have to teach those who are in debt. That is how to disciple them. That is their shortcoming, and that is their sin. And who are there around David? People who are discontented. Those are the people who are pessimistic and always think negatively. Those are the people who keep grumbling and complaining about all aspects of life. No one likes to work with people who keep giving you headache and troubles. Everyone likes to work with calm and clear-minded people. You know, such kind of people, they keep always complaining, always grumbling. Every time, how are you? They will tell you all their problems and they will cry. Sometimes you don't like even to go to such direction. You know, we don't need to work with such kind of people. But sometimes we have no other choice but to accept to work with discontented people. Not every time we have people who are good, but certain time we have people who are discontented. If we have no other choice, we have to handle them. We have to care for them. God will enable you to be effective in your service with them. First, He will give you the fruit of the Spirit. He will make you more patient, more persevering, long-suffering. He will give you endurance. And He will give you extra grace to tolerate them until they are delivered from their bad characters. I have ministered to people. They have material things more than what I have, and they're crying. I have ministered to people that have more problems and trials more than they have. But the thing is, what I have more, I have the Holy Spirit. With me, I have the Word of God, I have the promises of the Lord, I have the authority of God. I can use all these things to help those people to be contented finally with the Lord, with His Word, with His promises. The Lord will grant you the wisdom how to handle such kind of people and direct them to be fruitful and to see life in different perspective. You know, with these three categories, people in distress, people in debt, and people who are discontented, it is difficult to serve God with such kind of categories. But God's Word shows us the way how to do that. You know, in also in 1 Samuel, book of 1 Samuel and chapter 30 and verse 22, also from the life of King David, when he recovered what the Amalekites have taken away from plunder and his wives and the wives of his men. There were some people who were with him. They were not able to pursue the Amalekites because they were tired, so they stayed back. But the rest of the men, they were with him. So when they got the plunder, the word of God says in verse 22, but all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers said, because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder we recovered. However, each man may take his wife and children and go. But the point that I want to stress here You see, but all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers. You know, sometimes we are upset if we are hurt by people who are evil or troublemakers. But the point here, whom we are called to minister? Are we called to minister to righteous people? Or we are called to minister to evil and troublemakers? I am not saying that those who are doing evil or those who are troublemakers will give them ministry. Or I am not saying that we have to invite them. But sometimes God leads us to such kind of people. To tell you the truth, some people I cannot handle. They are troublemakers. But I say to the Lord, I cannot handle such kind of person or such kind of character. Certain time God will handle certain of those people who are troublemakers or rebel, but certain time he put us in contact with them and God wants us to handle them. And that's what the Lord say in Matthew 9:13. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call righteous, but sinners. Troublemakers and evil men are sinners. And sometimes, I'm speaking sometimes, the Lord is calling us to minister to such kind of people, to preach the word of God to them, to be in contact with them till they are delivered. The Lord will give us discernment how to do that. You can pray. You can bind out the evil spirit in them. You can rebuke demons in their life. You can fast for them. The Lord also expects He will do miracle so they will repent. Never give up on people and never give up trusting the God that He can change them. We will be satisfied of what we had discussed and we will continue in the next part of the mission and the work of the church in the New Testament. Let's pray. Lord, I give you thanks and I praise you. We adore you, Lord, for your clear word to us, to your church. Use this message, Lord, mightily for your glory. I pray, O God, that you open our mind and eyes and thoughts. Everyone who listen and direct us to where, Lord, you want us to move as a church, as workers, as ministers and pastors and leaders unto you, to reach the lost, O God. Lead us, O God, and give us the grace and give us wisdom, give us the Holy Spirit fruit, give us more gifts so that we will be able how to handle each and everyone. O Lord, we pray for more disciples that you enable us to make for you. Help us, Lord, to abide with your will and your plan. Take this message with the Holy Spirit and spread it and make it reach your people whom you call, and let it reach those who are willing to follow. We thank you and we praise you. God bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hands be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen and amen.